Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on Softy and Dick, of course, on a rainy Monday afternoon, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Why did you ask that question?
You want to go see Paul McCartney. You want to go see the Sounders and Pumas on Wednesday. Venue Kings can get you in the door for $55. Use code Softy at checkout for a little bit of a discount. Mariners at the Astros, starting a three-game series today. Logan Gilbert, the American League Pitcher of the Month, had a .40 ERA in April. That is the lowest single month in Mariner baseball history.
Mets sent Justice Sheffield and Donovan Watson down to AAA, and the Mets, I say the Mariners or the Mets? The Mariners sent Justice Sheffield.
Mariners, yeah.
Okay,
sure.
Good. And the Mets have designated Robinson Cano for assignment. He was hitting .195 in the season thus far, still has over $40 million left on his contract.
Some UW news. First of the football team, defensive back Jacoby Covington's in the transfer portal. In basketball, Fresno State center Braxton Mia, 7'1" player, is transferring into UW to play football, basketball for Mike Hopkins.
John Rahm wins the Mexico Open by one shot over a group that included Tony Finau. Rahm finished at 17-under, will be a favorite this week at Wells Fargo.
He was the heavy favorite in that tournament, right, this last
like
weekend?
Plus 300. Yeah. I would never bet a plus 300, but you know what? He won.
Only question was, like you said, would he give a damn? And apparently he gave a damn.
He gave a damn.
NFL, 4 days after the Cardinals traded for Ravens wide receiver Hollywood Brown, the NFL announcing today that Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins suspended for the first six games of the year for a violation of the NFL's PED policy.
Coming to you live from our Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM. It's our weekly conversation about all things NFL Draft with the NFL Network's top NFL Draft analyst, Daniel Jeremiah. Brought to you by the expert in sports handicapping, Troy Wins. Want the inside information on the best games with the best information? Then Troy Wins at TroyWins.com is your guy. Now with Softy and Dick, here's Daniel Jeremiah.
All right, here we go. Big thanks to TroyWins.com for sponsoring the Shindig every single Monday on the radio show. Daniel will join Puck and Jim later this week as well. Don't forget to check out TroyWins.com. But this time a week ago, our guy was driving to Las Vegas, and now he's back home from the weekend that was in the NFL draft and trying to get these stupid interviews out of the way so he can enjoy himself, for crying out
loud. That's vacation time. It's got to be,
our
right?
Our friend Daniel Jeremiah. How are you, pal? What's going on?
Oh, I'm great, guys. Had a blast out there in Vegas. I'm back in L.A. right now, just getting ready to check into a hotel, do another day of TV tomorrow, a couple days from home, and then I'm officially 100% just a Padre fan.
There you go. Well, you sound exhausted, man, so you've earned it for sure. But let's get a take from you, first of all, the view from 40,000 feet on what the Seahawks did. Charles Cross in the first, Boye Mafe, Kenny Walker in the second, Abe Lucas in the third, Kobe Bryant, the cornerback from Cincinnati, Tariq Woolen from UTSA, Tyreek Smith, Ohio State, Bo Melton, Rutgers wide receiver, and Derek Young, wide receiver from Lenoir Ryan, a small school in Carolina. What'd you make of the Hawks draft?
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought, you know, it was kind of like a Noah's Ark draft. They got two of everything. And to me, the tackles that they got, and we talked about, you know, the tackle group previously as a run-up to it. And I thought, okay, you know, the league's a little bit higher on Cross than I am. I really like Cross, though. I mean, he's going to be a functional starting left tackle in the NFL. He's going to be a good player. And then to get Abe Lucas, you know, on the other side, you've got two guys that have extensive, you know, pass protection reps, which is going to help you as you make that transition to the next level. So I like that, those bookends. I like the two corners. They got two big corners, which we, you know, they've collected there forever. They were both value picks, big time value picks where they got them. You know, Kenneth Walker is right in the discussion to be the top running back in this draft class. He could end up as the best running back in this draft class. So I love that pick. And I just posted something on Twitter a few minutes ago that the research department sends me, you know, based off where I have guys, who was the best value pick by round. And I think I had a Seahawk in there. Was it Melton? I know I had posted it just a little bit ago.
Yeah,
but
Bo Melton, right.
Yeah, there you go. So, and then, Young is somebody that's just kind of, you know, it's a, I believe he was at the East-West games where I kind of noticed him a little bit. He caught some steam late in the process. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of names that from a team that had how many picks last year, guys? What, three?
Four, right? Three and four.
Four. Yeah, just next to nothing. So now they get a chance to really have an impactful class.
Daniel, they really went need, and they went with more predictable picks this year. Why do you think they really went to fill needs this year when that has not been their traditional MO? Do you think it's a change in philosophy, or did this draft just fit what this team needed?
Well, I think, you know, when you have a loaded roster, which they had for a long period of time, you can best player available it. And I think they looked at it, and we talked about it, right? I mean, like, they couldn't line up and play with those two tackles. There's no way. Mm-hmm. You can't roll out there and be a competitive, solid offense with what they were going to have to be play with. So I felt that was, that's why you saw them address that and get themselves a team they can roll out there and be competitive with.
Daniel Jeremiah with us. Hugh Millen, who you know, was just on with us about an hour ago and talking about Tariq Woolen, the corner from UTSA.
Yeah.
Says as of right now, he's not a very good football player, and he's also the biggest project he's ever seen the Hawks take in the last 24 years. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's definitely more athlete than football player. His tape's not great. But for where they got him, and you've just got a piece of clay, if he'd been playing corner his whole life and what we saw right now was the product, I'd be like, okay, this is never going to work out. But he's a former wide receiver. He's just been playing the position a couple years. And he's got rare, I mean, like never seen before, height, weight, speed combo. So, you know, look, there was talk about people saying he was going to go in the second round. I never put him in that category. But to get him where they got him, I thought that's where you take guys like that. That's where you take fun projects. And I think you get a chance to go with a place that's proven they can develop the position. So I liked it. I see what he's saying. The tape's not good. But there's also the fact that he's relatively new at the position, and there's not many guys like him walking around.
Well, he also mentioned that Kobe Bryant, the other corner that they took, is almost opposite of him, that he is just he's more much
high
more
floor.
Polished. Yeah, talk about what you like about him.
Yeah, just consistent, high floor, competitive. You know, you have the size. He's going to get challenged vertically down the field. That's the kind of the knock on him. It's just that big-time deep speed. He doesn't really have that. But he understands how to play, you know, within his abilities, and he's got challenged a lot as teams kind of went away from Sauce Gardner, and this guy can really play the football. So I know Pete used to say it all the time. I don't know if he still, screams that mantra, it's all about the ball, but this guy can play it.
How much of a concern is there about Charles Cross being the elite pass blocker that he is, but maybe not so much as a run blocker yet? 704 pass snaps last year for Mississippi State, only 270 on the ground. A lot of people have pointed that out. I mean, is that any kind of a concern for you at all with this guy?
Well, I think he shows some want to in the run game. You know, like he's got a little bit of nasty to him. He's just not, he doesn't really – explode into guys. He's more kind of a grab you up top and wrestle and throw you down. But I think that's something he's going to get more experience at, more reps at, learn how to kind of get underneath guys, roll his hips and uncoil on guys. So, that's going to be a work in progress there. But I know one thing, it's a lot easier to teach a pass protector to run block than it is to teach a run blocker to pass protect.
GMs usually reach for quarterbacks, and they did the opposite this year. Not only did they not reach, they just didn't draft them. I mean, is that a philosophy change, or was this draft class really that bad at quarterback?
Yeah, it wasn't a great group, but that being said, I thought there was value with where they went. I thought these guys would probably go off in the second round. They didn't. We didn't have any of them go in the second round. I had one in the first, and everybody else went kind of in the third, except for Sam Howell went in the fifth. And I thought, I thought those guys were second round caliber players that went in the third round. But we've seen it over the years. If you're not good enough to go in the first round, then teams are saying, well, why would I take you in the second round? If you're good enough to take in the second round, I just take you in the first round. So there's kind of a gap between that first round and then where the next group of guys goes. So I guess that's kind of the trend where we are. But in some ways, I feel bad for the kids. It's not their fault. And hopefully they get opportunities going forward. But in some ways, I'm kind of proud of the NFL that they didn't just get caught up in quarterback fever and just kind of graded them as they saw them.
Daniel Jeremiah with us on the radio show. Let's talk about Kenneth Walker for a second. You know, we've talked about him all weekend long, a guy that we thought at some point that he might win the damn Heisman Trophy. And then obviously things kind of fell apart there for Michigan State at the end of the year after the Ohio State game. But what do you see from this guy, and especially from year one out of him?
Yeah, he's instinctive. He runs angry. You can make the case he's the best runner in the draft. I gave Breece Hall the edge just because he had more experience, more production in the pass game. And, you know, I kind of talked to Mel Tucker about that during the year. And he sent me a bunch of clips, of practice clips of Walker catching the ball and blocking. So I know he can do it. They just didn't really call on him to do much of it there because they were having too much success putting the ball in his stomach. So I think that's still going to be an area where he continues to grow and get better at, particularly in pass pro. But as just a runner, man, he is quick. He's explosive. He's got a top gear. And he runs angry, which is a pretty good trait to have at that position.
Big lack of running backs going high, and we've seen that being the trend over the last couple years. But how did you feel like this running back class was? Are running backs getting artificially pushed down, kind of like the quarterbacks did this year?
No, I thought those two top guys were kind of late first round, early second round guys. I thought they kind of, that's where their value was. But, we'll get a good litmus test next year. I haven't done much on these guys, but just, you know, you turn on a game on a Saturday, it sure seems like the running back from Texas and then the running back who transferred to Alabama from Georgia Tech looks like a big-time dude. So, you know, we get to next year, and if you have those big-time guys and they don't go in the first round again, I guess we'll say this is the new normal.
Yeah, well, you know, and the other big question from the weekend is what the hell happened to N'Kobe Dean, for crying out loud? He falls all the way to, what, Philadelphia, I think it is, and then says all these rumors about shoulder surgery. I have no idea where any of that stuff came from. Is he maybe kind of holding back on that a little bit, or did he get screwed a bit here?
No, I mean, I talked to a team, and what I was told was kind of what was reported from that team, which was he had a pec injury and elected not to have the surgery, and that he was going to try and rehab it. And so that was a concern with the team that I talked to. So, you know, my whole thing was, okay, even if that is true and that is the case, and he comes back and in mini camp or during training camp, he realizes, okay, I got to have this surgery. I'm out 6 months. I'm going to miss the whole season. Well, okay, he misses one season. After that, you got him for another 4 years. And he's a great, great player. I thought he got unduly punished on that one.
Unlike Kenneth Walker, who we probably watched a little bit of this year, I don't think many Hawk fans saw anything of Boye Mafe watching Gopher football. So tell us what they got in that edge.
Yeah, big-time explosive dude. They played him standing up, played over the tight end a lot there at Minnesota, and had a lot of responsibilities, and I thought there were times he played just that he didn't, you know, really cut it loose. Well, then he goes to the Senior Bowl. He plays for the Jets. They're a wide nine aligned team, so they really put him out, got him in a four-point stance, like a track stance, and let him just free your mind and go. And he was pretty reckless and pretty dominant there. He had two sacks in the Senior Bowl game.
Yeah.
He tested, you know, incredibly well and ran like the low 4.5. So he's got a lot of juice.
Who got the biggest steal in this draft, in your mind?
The biggest steal?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jermaine Johnson to the Jets, I thought, was the biggest steal. I thought he was a top 10 player. He's my ninth guy, and they traded back up and got him at 26. So I've yet to get an explanation from a team of why that makes any sense. But, we have that. Every now and then you have a guy that teams look at other positions, and, we saw all these wideouts go. We saw all these offensive linemen go, and the top three edge rushers had already gone early, and he just sat there and waited and waited and waited. And I won't be shocked if we look back 3 years from now and he's the best of the bunch in terms of the pass rushers.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
How high did you have Bo Melton? Because you said he was the best pick in that seventh round.
Yeah, I think I posted it, but it was, I want to say I had him, based off of my rankings, probably in the third or fourth round.
Jeez.
And he got all the way down there. He's a legit 4.3 dude with big time toughness. He's strong. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's strong and fast and tough. I thought he had a pretty good Senior Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, it's wide out. There's a zillion of them, but I thought he had some real redeeming qualities.
Well, Daniel Jeremiah, who has a lot of redeeming qualities, by the way, is with us on the air from the NFL Network, courtesy of TroyWins.com. And Abe Lucas at right tackle, Charles Cross at left tackle. Can you go ahead and just lock those guys in as your starters right now in week one?
Yeah, I asked Pete that after the draft, and we had him on the network. And just said, hey, those guys, you know, those guys seem like they could be ready to go. And he's absolutely there competing for those jobs. And
yeah,
based off the talent level, I got to imagine that those are going to be your opening day starters.
How much of that is because of them versus what they have here now at left and right tackle? They got Stone Forsythe and Jake Curran at left and right tackle. How much of those guys starting is because they actually are starting caliber tackles right now or because of what they're replacing in Seattle?
Yes.
Okay.
Which one? Pick one. A little bit of both, you think?
I can make a compelling case for both on that one. I think they're just more talented guys. I think they just have more ability.
Right.
And I think they're going to win those competitions.
What's Tyreek Smith all about from Ohio State?
Yeah, you know, not a ton of production. I want to say it was the Clemson game from the year before where he kind of caught my attention. You know, kind of really flash. He's a classic flash player. Like, you see these flashes, and then he would just kind of disappear. He had good battles at the Senior Bowl with Penning. I think he's the one actually Penning threw into the goalpost when Penning was trying to hurt people out there. But no, he can really get upfield. Just got to play a little bit more consistent.
All right, Daniel, I got one more before you go. Dick may have one more as well. Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network, courtesy of TroyWins.com, and joining us every Monday talking draft. And Seahawks obviously did not take a quarterback. They could have had anybody they wanted. I mean, they would have had to take and pick it at number 9, but they could have had anybody else the rest of the way, and they passed on all these guys in the second round. Do you think they're truly done with their quarterback room? Will it be Geno Smith and Drew Lock fighting it out for the starting job, or do you see them making a run at Baker now that he'll see seemingly become available for a lot less than the $18 million he's owed in 2022?
Yeah, I mean, I would think if Baker Mayfield got cut that, you know, they would be interested because the price would just be so favorable, and I don't know how much of a market he's going to have. So, you know, I know they love Drew Lock, and I know they want, you know, Geno to get an opportunity there for those guys to compete. I just, man, if you had an opportunity to get Baker and it's not going to cost you a draft pick and it didn't cost much money,
right?
I mean, what do you got to lose? If you really truly preach competition like Pete does, there's nothing wrong with bringing in a little competition.
All right, let's say Drew Lock just doesn't have it. All right, they give him 17 games. He's not the guy, and Hawks finish with about the same record as they do this year. So they got about the 10th pick again. How many legit top 10, 15 quarterbacks, at least at this point, 12 months before next draft, are there for next year?
I can honestly tell you I've spent more time looking up Padres minor league scores than I have looking at next year's draft class.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
So I will get there. I will get there, but that party ain't starting for a few weeks.
I got you.
And how is the Padres minor league system looking these days?
We're good. We're good. We, you know, we were able to give away great players to you guys, and somehow we still have guys. So I don't know how that works.
Yeah, Matt Brash, anti-France. Well, maybe just wrap it up with this, because Dick asked the question there. He said 17 games for Drew Lock. How long does he get? Like, let's say he wins the job and he starts the opener.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not just getting 17 games no matter what, or is he?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, as long as he's showing progress and you see improvement, I think he'll get a good run. But if they can't get first downs and you're 3 to 4 games into the season, even though you could make a case that this is kind of the you know, retooling, if you don't want to use rebuilding process for this team, I don't think they operate like that. They're always of a playoff mindset, and if he's not getting the job done 3 or 4 weeks in,
yep,
I would imagine they're not just going to punt the whole season.
I love it. All right, man, great stuff. Enjoy the off season. We'll catch up in a while and look forward to coming down to San Diego and kicking the Padres' ass. So thanks for doing this.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, man, good stuff, buddy. Daniel Jeremiah with us. Big thanks to our friends at TroyWins.com for sponsoring that every single Monday. And I'm just more intrigued by Tariq Woolen now after hearing you talk about him, after hearing Daniel Jeremiah talk about him. You know, you talked about him not being a very good football player right now. That doesn't mean he won't be a good player down the road. Hugh pointed that out and also pointed out that his athleticism is in the 100th percentile in some ways. I mean, the guy's, what, 6'4" and runs a 4.2, 6.40, had a 42-inch vertical leap. He's got almost 34-inch arms, for God's sake. So, you know, I thought Hugh painted a great picture of a real big-time project who right now doesn't really know a lot about being a football player, especially a cornerback. But, hey, in the 5th round, could be a steal down the road.
Yeah, and the good news in the NFL, you've got that redshirt opportunity on the practice practice squad. And the only reason you would lose guys on the practice squad is if some other team wants to put them on their active roster. Well, if this guy can't cover you right now,
right,
nobody's putting him on their active roster.
No, no, exactly. All right, we're going to break. 5:20, Kalen DeBoer. You want to hear from the coach of the Dogs after the spring game on Saturday? Did they have any clarity on the quarterback battle? We'll talk to the coach next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Don't be confused. We're still your home for the Huskies, Kraken, and Seattle's best NFL draft coverage. It's just become more clear. Crystal clear. As Seattle's only FM sports station. Sports Radio 93.3. KJR FM.
All right, now Everett
back
Fitzhugh.
Back to Softy and Dick.
Jumped the gun again.
Yeah, but we made it crystal clear last week that he has the ability, if he so chooses, to avoid that problem from arising on the radio
it's
station.
Still on you.
It seems, though, like there are more station promos now that have that kind of pause before the last little tag. Because I don't remember you ever stepping on that for years and years and years, and now all of a sudden it happens
Listen,
all the time.
If you want to pass the buck of responsibility, that's your problem. You're almost 30 years old
I'm
now.
Passing it away from
no,
you.
I'm talking to him.
I'm passing it to the station.
Right, I'm talking to him. If Jackson wants to do that, he wants to just, you know, poo-poo this and just put it in somebody else's lap.
I'm telling you that
as a 30-year-old man, nearly 30-year-old man, if you think that's the best course in life, then that's fine.
I'm already telling you that multiple people above us have already told me that is your responsibility and
multiple
it's on you
people.
To do that.
Meaning Kevin Shockey.
Yeah, and
that's what you see. That?
And don't say he's poo-pooing because we know
multiple
who the great
people,
clearly the great poo-pooer
you.
In
yeah,
this.
We
room.
Know.
That's
I know
right,
you're talking.
Oh,
about.
Lord Shockey!
And you know what? He can suck it too. How's that sound? That guy. Yeah, he's sitting in his.
He's my boss.
In
so.
His throne in his office over there, doing whatever the hell he's doing, drinking and stuffing his face with caviar.
What? Is that what he's
God,
doing?
Yeah, he's just eating like a king in there. Is what he's doing.
Wow.
Meantime, you and I are sucking on beef jerky and Coke. All right. I had a chance to catch up with Kalen DeBoer after the spring game on Saturday. Any clarity to the – do you think there should have been more clarity after Saturday to the quarterback battle?
Well, I'm always a fan of naming a quarterback.
Right.
I mean, that's just kind of if you've got a quarterback that's clearly better than the other ones, then I'm a fan
you
of
you want to name
a
guy the second he signs. Starter. Right
I wanted
there.
To name him. I wanted Michael Penix to come in and have Kalen DeBoer like tweet out and he's our starter too.
Yes. So like
the day he transferred.
You
yes.
have football, a graphic announcing Michael Penix is not just transferring, he's also starting.
That's exactly
so
right.
So Sam Heward and Dylan Morris should just transfer right now. Let's be honest. Here's Kalen DeBoer. Does it start with me? Him? How's it start? Kalen DeBoer, head coach of the Dogs, had a chance to catch up with him after the game on Saturday. Starts with him talking about what I have no idea. Go ahead.
It's been pretty special. I just told the team, you know, how much I love him, how much I appreciate him. It's more than they know. It's more than they know because, you know, it's never perfect. And, you know, today wasn't perfect. You could critique things both sides of the ball, but I know this. I know their heart's in the right spot. I know they're working extremely hard, and they want to do it. And their habits support their goals. And as long as we continue to do that, we're going to stay in the right direction and reach them.
What did you want to get done during the last few weeks, and did you get all of it done?
Well, working backwards, I mean, today, honestly, the number one thing is to stay healthy. I mean, it's the coach's prayer that you say before you step on the field for a spring game. But I really think that it went in spurts. I think our offense was ahead of our defense the first couple weeks. I think our defense did a great job catching up. Last week's scrimmage, defense really did a nice job. I thought controlled it for the most part. And today, I thought both sides had their time. You know, the defense really was strong. The offense, didn't make the plays that they had the opportunity to make. But, you can see times when it can happen on both sides, that's what you got to do is just now stack those moments, stack those plays on top of plays and be more consistent.
Number one topic, obviously, is the quarterback for sure. Did you find any clarity in that battle today?
Well, I think over the course of the spring, you do. You have some clarity. It's crazy how some things happen. You know, some of the guys make plays that they haven't made. Some of the things happen that didn't happen. But I was really proud of the way that the quarterbacks came out. You know, I'd rather have them make the mistakes and try to make those big throws. You know, I love Sam throwing the ball down the field, down the left side, putting some air on. He missed a couple and never flinched. He came back and made it. You know, Mike and Dylan continue to do the same thing too. You know, they've done a great job of taking care of the football all spring. You know, a couple turnovers today. I can't remember who threw them, but I know it was those guys that threw them. And so, you know, that's just a good job by the defense too. And so you got to credit both sides. When you're the head coach, you know, I don't put the headphones on today, but most scrimmages, and it's a comedy of what you hear, because right, one side's not happy and the other side's ecstatic. And you know, that's the case, I think, each and every time you have a spring game too.
Is it safe to say that Mike Penix is the leader in the clubhouse for now, knowing that could change by September?
Yeah, I don't want to say that right now. You know, I think, again, each of them show glimpses of what they can do, you know, and there's a lot of summer. There's a lot of ball yet to be played, a lot of work yet to be done between now and the first game. So I don't want to get into that yet. I like the direction all three of them are headed. I like that they're not afraid to make mistakes. And there's going to come a point, you know, they continue to learn from them in practice, and they'll hone it in when that time comes on Saturdays.
Lots of players banged up today, obviously. One of them, and Jackson Kirkland, still waiting for some kind of word from the NCAA on him. Any word there you can update us on?
Yeah, there's nothing. It's just one of those things. So we're anxiously waiting.
Kalen, great stuff, and we'll see you back here for fall camp, man. Appreciate this.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Go Dogs.
So to your point about why they haven't named a starter yet, I mean, look, there's a couple reasons why. Number one, they don't clearly, honestly know yet, truly, who the guy is. Number two, they think it's going to be Penix, but they want to have him really earn it because you can't give away the locker room. I mean, there's a lot of guys in that locker room that like Dylan Morris a lot. I will tell you that right now, in the last couple of years. He's earned a lot of equity in that locker
room.
Well,
he's a likable guy, and
people
I saw
like,
him.
Kids like him a lot.
I saw him. I was on the sidelines for the Apple Cup, and he was pumping up his teammates the entire game after he got benched for a freshman. So that tells you a little bit of something about Dylan
Morris.
So
if they give the job to Michael Penix without him really having to earn it, that might rub people the wrong way in the locker room.
You know, I was kind of being facetious when I was talking about naming him the first day he came in.
Right, but you're saying why don't they name him and maybe like right now, for example, or maybe the first week of spring ball or fall camp.
I think first week of fall
camp.
I'm
just telling you that you got to make these kids have got to know that Michael Penix earned the job versus having it given to him.
I see.
Right? And the parents of other recruits have to know that kids are getting jobs earned and not handed to them. There's politics involved in things like this.
I understand.
But hang on. Here's my point. To your point about the delta between Penix and the rest of these quarterbacks, if there is a big delta, we might be able to kind of glean something from how long it does take Kalen DeBoer to name Michael Penix a starter. Let's say they give this guy the job the second week of fall camp versus the fourth week of fall camp, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that tells you that, hey, the gap was fairly sizable, and that's why they're doing this right now versus waiting until week four. They might just wait until week four anyway, because that might be the kind of guy Kalen DeBoer is. I have no idea. I've never seen the guy coach a game, for crying out loud. I don't have any idea what kind of coach this guy is going to be. All I know is this. I understand why a coach would want to wait, especially when you have a new staff and you're trying to win the hearts and minds of players and parents in the program. You want to make sure everybody knows that everybody is treated fairly.
I guess it wouldn't bug me as much if we hadn't gone through it for most of the last half decade here. And Chris Peterson just loved doing that. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I don't know who my starter is. That might be Jacob Eason. Might be Jay Kaner. I don't know who my starter is.
Well,
and
but
then,
why
and
are you
then
talking
Jimmy
like,
did the same
but,
thing
but,
last
but,
year.
Okay, but I don't understand this. And I'm trying.
I'm just saying, for the first years of our lives, we knew who the Husky starting quarterback was.
Right, but
was.
That's not Chris Peterson's fault. I mean, they always had an heir apparent. That's their point, right? They always had an heir apparent.
Correct.
And so then Chris Peterson shows up, and there is no heir apparent. They don't have an heir apparent. They got guys that transfer out. I mean, you do that thing with Chris. I mean, is that like you're like mocking him? Like he didn't know what he was doing?
It wasn't just Peterson.
I don't
Jimmy
understand.
Jimmy Lake did the same thing. I mean, it was just like Chris Peterson was just the first to kind of just like string us out.
Right, but let me ask you a question, though. What quarterback have you seen in the last 3 or 4 years that deserve to be just given the job?
Well,
none of them.
Do you think Jacob Eason might have had a better season with the University of Washington had he been given all the snaps?
Or because
he got 50% of the snaps,
yeah,
was he not as good and he was not as crisp as he could have been that
Nothing
year?
Of significance. No. Okay. I mean, if you're telling me, I mean, would that make receivers catch footballs? I mean, I understand your point that the more practice time, the better players are. That's just a fundamental thought, and I totally understand that. But if you're telling me that Jacob Eason would have been exponentially better at quarterback because he got more snaps in fall camp, I don't agree with that, no. I mean, Jacob Eason was starting at Georgia, for God's sakes. He had more experience than Jake Haener did. This guy shows up, and Chris Peterson, like any other coach, wants him to earn the job and doesn't want to just give a guy the job just because he showed up. Now, I think people are smart. They figure things out.
Yes.
Transfers come in. They know the real deal. They know what's going on. But again, I have not seen any quarterback that's come in here since Jake Browning that clearly over everybody else deserved to be gifted the job the minute they showed up. And I know you're not saying gift them the job the minute they show up.
Right.
I know that. But I have not seen one guy come in here. And maybe that's a criticism of the coaching staff when it comes to recruiting.
Maybe.
That they have not been able to find a star at quarterback. And look at what Kalen DeBoer is now left with, right? I mean, at one point, this quarterback room seemed to be stacked. Jacob Sermon, Colson Yankoff, Sam Heward, Dylan Morris. Now, two of those guys are gone. One guy's playing wide receiver, and the second guy is on his third school.
I mean, I guess I just, you know, you watch all of Michael Penix's tape. Mm-hmm. Kalen DeBoer was actually with Michael Penix for a while.
You watch
all of Dylan Morris's tape, and then you go entirely through spring ball. That to me seems like a requisite amount of time to identify who's the starting quarterback.
Well, you want him named right now then. You want Michael Penix. What if he's not the best guy?
Well, if he's truly not the best guy, then we're in trouble.
Well,
I mean, we're in trouble.
Why? What if those guys have taken that big of a leap?
Do you think they have? You watched them on
Saturday. I don't know based on what I saw in a scrimmage when the quarterback's not even eligible to get hit. That's impossible for me to make that claim after what I saw. I mean, you heard what Hugh said, right? That the passing game looks better than it did a year ago. The wide receivers are better and the quarterbacks look better. I mean, look, you want a guy named right now? I certainly understand that. I totally also at the same time completely understand why Kalen DeBoer, a brand new first-year rookie head coach, who's trying to change the culture, who's trying to convince an entire football team who committed some to Chris Peterson, some to Jimmy Lake, to follow him, why he would not just be giving away positions unless he has to. I mean, they've got, what is this, May? They got 4 months till the first game of the year.
Well,
right?
I don't think I'm saying giving away position. You got to earn the position.
Right.
I'm just saying,
but
have you not identified it already?
He doesn't think he's earned it yet.
Meaning he hasn't separated himself or he hasn't paid the dues as a Washington Husky
doesn't think
yet
he's
in
earned
order
it.
To earn it.
Maybe both. Maybe he hasn't paid his dues. Maybe he hasn't earned it. Maybe they genuinely, how about this for an idea, don't know who the starting quarterback is right now.
That worries me.
And that worries you. Okay. Well, I
doesn't worry you?
Yeah, no, because I'm not concerned at all about a guy not getting named the quarterback in May. If they get to the last week of
fall camp. But that's a different question than worrying you, because worrying me is to say that Michael Penix is not significantly better than what I saw at quarterback last year. That would worry me.
I think he will be, though. Okay. I think he will be.
Okay.
I think he will be.
I'll trust
There's no need to name a guy right now. It's May the 2nd. It's May the 2nd. This guy's got to earn this damn thing. He's got to earn it and not just be given it. And I don't think that there's been anything that's happened so far that makes it clearly obvious to everybody that Michael Penix should be the starter without a competition in the fall. I mean, you've got to be the incumbent, I think, to get that. If this guy played for the Huskies a year ago and started 12 games and they went 9-3 and he was the second team all Pac-12 guy, totally different story. But you got a fall camp competition coming up, and I think he should be a part of it. Now, let's see how long it takes in the fall. That's the question. 5:41, we'll get a break. Everett Fitzhugh, the final night of Hockey Night in Seattle until next year. At 6 o'clock tonight, right here on Softy and Dick on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Come with us. Seattle's only FM sports station is spreading our wings. Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. Now back to Softy and Dick.
All right.
So you did it good that time. Good
How
job.
That, huh?
Applause for you. Good job.
If I need to babysit you, then I will. That's fine. I mean, you're almost 30 years old, for crying out loud. I didn't know you needed that.
Such a
still.
Child.
So Friday night, I thought we had, was it Friday or Thursday night? Friday night, right?
For
with
Hugh?
With the Hugh thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And he, you know, he's listening right now. What the hell are those sons of bitches going to bring up now? I'm telling you. He's like, ever see the movie Something About Mary with the guy Warren? Where's my bitball? That guy, he's got his headphones on from 1985 with his Walkman radio, walking around hearing us right now.
Those big headphones,
exactly.
Were awesome.
So we played a clip for Hugh. They draft Charles Cross, and I thought the moment of the draft on Friday night. We play this clip from Daniel Jeremiah. I thought, you thought, we all thought, making it clear as crystal that this was a clip from like 2 weeks ago.
But he didn't have his headphones.
But he didn't realize that because he wasn't paying attention, right? So we play this clip for Daniel Jeremiah from like a week and a half ago talking about Charles Cross, who the Hawks had just taken, and we're hoping that Hugh would then come on and respond to what Daniel said about Charles Cross, but he did not know this was on tape and thought it was actually a live interview. Check it out.
But again, he's got a lot of experience in the passing game. I think he'd be a plug-and-play, you know, guy in Seattle.
How about that?
When you talk about your concerns about him, you say displacing people. Okay, there's a couple connotations there. We know the other tackles were just bigger men, right? So at you know, he says he's 315. Hard to imagine that's light, but in modern football, that's light for a tackle, right? But so is that a concern that it's just he just doesn't have the size, or is there a chance to be optimistic that we see a punch and a certain power and violence with his hands that with development he can take it to the next level in terms of his run blocking?
Okay, we're laughing at you right now. That was on tape.
You son of a... I sat there and go, is this live?
No.
You said, are we live?
I said, is this live? And you're pointing at me like, ask him a freaking question.
No.
Oh, my God. If I wasn't on radio, the names I'd be calling you, son of a...
Oh. Nick and I are sitting there, wait a minute, what's he doing? And then he looked at me. I looked at him. He's doing an interview.
Is this live?
Okay. I don't know what this means except for me.
When I was like, this is live, and you're going, yeah,
I thought
live.
You meant, are we live? Because you just put your headsets on.
Or you go ahead and pick it up we come at it, but it's all you.
That's awesome. We have our moment of the draft. I think it's fantastic. We had our moment of 4 3 years ago when DK got drafted. Now we got a moment of the draft.
You know what we could have done, though, to save your ass? Oh, we lost him. Sorry. His phone cut out. He's gone.
I think we just let him. I think
you save me?
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Let the 5 seconds of dinner.
Holy crap.
Well, you want to respond to that? What he said there about Charles Cross? I thought that's what you were doing.
I didn't know what he said. No, he said,
okay, Daniel, it's Hugh. How are you?
I'm in a terrified state right now.
All right, well. And then Dick tried to move on like 3 or 4 times, and we couldn't stop laughing on the air on Friday. I mean, my God. The guy actually thought that was a live interview, and it was a clip from a week and a half ago. How freaking funny was that?
I'm telling you, we got to write this list down every year now at the VMAC, starting
absolutely.
In 2019, and
absolutely.
Now over again to 2022, we're going to get a Hugh moment of the draft. What's it going to be next year?
Well, the cool thing about the DK Metcalf selection a couple years ago was not just his reaction, but how pissed off he was getting every time the Seahawks would come up and they'd pass on him. And he would like those, and he was grinding his teeth together. Then they finally took him, and he was humping the floor at the VMAC.
He's doing push-ups.
Seriously, it was unbelievable.
Can we play 5 more seconds from this clip?
Yes, go ahead. I said Daniel Jeremiah was on with me and Dick.
I don't listen to you often because you're not interesting. I don't listen to you often because you're not interesting.
We got a whole new soundboard out of that, man.
Big clown. Oh, my God. You son of a... I sat there and go, is this live? I'm in a terrified state right now.
Oh, good stuff. Well, I was pretty pleased with what they did over the weekend, but I don't know. What do I know? I mean, this is the day where we should be sitting here breaking down their draft from like 2019 where they got 3 starters. They got Jordan Brooks, they got Daryl Taylor and Damian Lewis.
That's a good draft.
Does that make the 2019 draft look different?
Yes.
Yeah.
I always like that draft. That's a good draft. People like to dump on drafts. There's been two or three really, really bad Seahawk drafts since 2013, 2013 being one of them.
Yep.
But 2019 was good.
How about we do this? We get reaction from the audience, and if you're wrong and you criticize it incorrectly, you have to wear the cone of shame, which is the I dump on drafts t-shirt. And it goes around every single year. Because that really is what we should be doing now, is talking about a draft from 2-3 years ago, not what happened on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because nobody even knows who the hell these guys are. All right, speaking of a guy that nobody knows who he is, Everett Fitzhugh, the NHL Play-by-Play Man of the Month, will join us and wrap up the Kraken season on Hockey Night in Seattle next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRM.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
FM.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports Headlines.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I don't have any plans tonight. I'm looking at VenueKings.com. Tickets for Paul McCartney's show are $45.
Really?
On the website to go see a living legend. And I could buy three tickets for us. We could sit here, crack a beer in the fridge, and walk our asses up the hill and go watch Paul McCartney.
I pay you back?
And say that we saw a Beatle in person.
Please?
I think we should discuss it. Show meeting.
Show meeting.
All right. Anyway, headlines are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com who have those tickets for tonight's concert on the website. Be sure and use code SOFTY at checkout for a little bit of a discount. What do we got? NFL news. 4 days after trading for Ravens wide receiver Hollywood Brown, NFL announcing today that Cardinal wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins been suspended 6 games for a violation of the PED policy.
Wazoo forward Muhammad Gay has entered the transfer portal, joining former teammate Efe Abogidi, and the Zags get a transfer from LSU, 6'11 Efton Reed, who started every game for the Tigers in their run to the NCAA tournament.
And game one of the Eastern Conference semis going on right now in Miami. Heat leading Philadelphia 64-61 mid-third. Bam! With 18 and 8 already for the Heat. All right, joining us right now, the final Hockey Night in Seattle of the inaugural Kraken season. It's our buddy, the play-by-play voice of the Kraken, Everett Fitzhugh. Everett, how are you, pal? What's going on?
I'm doing well, doing well. Just coming, trying to reflect on this last season and switch into off-season mode. I'm doing good.
Well, let's kind of go back and look over it just from the top of the pyramid here. 27-49-6, second fewest points in the Western Conference. Not the year anybody wanted to see the Kraken have, but give me your thoughts on what you saw in year one as we wrap it up.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway that I have from this season is you identified a good core of players that you can build around, guys that, whether it be through their on-ice leadership, their off-the-ice leadership in the locker room, these are going to be guys that you can build around. Your Yanni Gourdes, your Jared McCanns, Jordan Eberles, second half of the year, we saw the goaltending become what we knew and thought and hoped they would have been earlier in the season. So that foundation has been laid pretty well. You've got a good base on defense. So I think this year you have found the pieces that will help make you successful. Now it's all about adding around those pieces. And I think, if you were to go back and look at this team, and Adam Larson, I think, said it best this morning in his media avail, you know, if the Kraken had won more games earlier in the season, it would have been a whole different mindset moving down the stretch run here, because obviously when the games don't matter, if you're out of a playoff race, if you're so far back, you play a little bit loose. And you don't have to be thinking about as much. I'm kind of paraphrasing what he said here, but if the Kraken had been able to pick up a few more wins in October, November, December, you know, maybe this would have been a different story moving down the stretch run. But I think you identified the strengths that you have on this team, but I think you identified the weaknesses that you need to address moving forward.
And those weaknesses, I mean, do they start with the offense? I mean, because it got better towards the end of the year with some of the additions, but it just didn't seem all season long that there was a guy you could count on to put the puck in the net.
Yeah, I think that would be, you know, if you're talking to myself, Dave Tomlinson, we both kind of agree on the areas that need to be addressed. And at the top, I think you need a legitimate skilled forward. And your first reaction is going to be like, well, no bleep, everyone needs one of those. But you need a guy that can put the puck in the back of the net. I think of a Philip Forsberg in Nashville. I think of a Johnny Gaudreau in Calgary, a guy that your job is to score goals and to help generate offense. I think number two, you're going to need a right shot defenseman who can quarterback the power play. That was one area of weakness all year long was the power play. And a large part of that is not having that right shot option at the top of that power play. And I think for me, I'll add a third piece onto there. You need a little bit more sandpaper, a little bit more grit, a tough forward that you can put in that bottom six, those bottom two lines for the Kraken. I go back to a couple times this year where you had Jared McCann, you had Jamie Oleksiak having to fight. And while if you look at the instances in which they fought, it was warranted, and you understand the situation that caused it. You were down by a bunch of goals, and it wasn't going well for your team, so you needed to have that spark. But your $5 million guys, $4 million guys shouldn't be doing that. And I think that was where I saw some of the flaws this season would be in those three areas. And Ron Francis has said, we've got the draft capital, we've got the salary cap room to help address those issues. And, you know, that five-year plan that had been talked about so early in the year, that has now been morphed into a two-and-a-half-year plan to get this team to where they want to be.
Well, Everett Fitzhugh is with us, and you mentioned it right there. You know, Ron Francis is kind of putting the expectations now back on himself, talking about the money they've got, the draft capital they've got. So how much different will this team look next year? Your partner, Dave Tomlinson, gave us a great answer last week, so I want to hear your thoughts first and then tell you what Dave said about the roster. But how much different do you think this team looks next October?
Well, it can be a little tricky because you do have some salary cap dollars tied up into a lot of players on this team. I think we did an exercise on the bus not too long ago between the four of us, and I think it was 13 players that you probably had to find room to bring back just because of their cap situation, because of the years that they have left on their deal, whatever the case may be. But I do think that this team minimally goes out and addresses the areas that were glaring, and that is power play help, that is special teams help, and I think that is finding more offense. I definitely think that the goal now is making the playoffs. I mean, I feel that that's got to be imperative for next season, is to be a playoff team. And if you can go out and you can find one or two pieces up front in your top six, you've got 34 draft picks over the next three drafts coming up here. You can easily take two of those second round picks and parlay those into a legitimate top six forward. So if you can bring in a couple of those top six forwards, if you can bring in people that can help you out, especially on your back end on the power play, I think that we're going to see some new faces. I think we're going to see some pretty big faces. I don't think we're going to see a lot. I don't see this team being overhauled. You know, you get rid of 10 guys and you bring in 10 more. But I do think the addition of 3 to 4 guys on this roster we'll be seeing in September.
Everett, I'd love to have you weigh in on a comment I read this weekend by Jeff Baker in the Seattle Times. He said, sure, Ron Francis stockpiled salary cap space, but he sacrificed a critical first season doing it to the chagrin of season ticket holders paying top dollar and general disinterest from casual sports fans. Can you weigh in on that take?
Yeah, I would have to disagree a little bit with that comment. I mean, the NHL attendance rankings that came out earlier today, the Kraken were one of four teams that had 100% attendance rate this season. So the interest has been there. And the entire time over the past couple of years, we as an organization, as a staff, we have gone out on record very publicly and saying that, hey, listen, this is not going to be the Vegas Golden Knights. We are not going to, no one's ever going to be Vegas. Yes, I will agree. The numbers and the results were disappointing. And I think if you go back to when this team was selected via the expansion draft to be a free agency last summer, everybody, a lot of people, including myself, I saw this as a playoff team on paper. It didn't happen. But as the great Herm Edwards say, you play to win the game, right? That's why you play the games. You play to win. So unfortunately, the results weren't there. But I do think that the off-ice strides that were made in the community with the fan base, I think those are something that you can't even put into words as to how important they were and how big those strides were. I will say that there is a lot of pressure now on Ron Francis and on this hockey ops staff into getting this team to be a playoff team, to be a competitive contender next season and moving forward. I don't envy their job, but I don't know if I would agree in saying that the casual fan and for the most part, people were disappointed that much. I do think there was the disappointment out there, but I do think expectations were managed throughout the season. And I think, again, like I've said, it sets you up to have success for next season.
Well, Everett Fitzhugh is with us. I just hope that they fix the radio broadcast, to be honest with you. Everything else was fine.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, those two knuckleheads in the booth, they got to do something there. But our final hockey night in Seattle, and clearly there's going to be a lot of buzz about Matty Beniers, right, over the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
Ends up with, a point in, I think, 8 of the 9 games he played in.
Yeah.
And he looks like, to me, to the untrained eye, that this guy's got star written all over him.
Yeah, he is going to be a player for this team. I would love to see how he looks over the summer and what he does in training camp. I think he had about as good of an opening showing as he could have had. But I think there were some areas that we now see that he has had to work on. First couple of games, you know, he's flying around out there. I think that's a lot of the adrenaline from, you know, hey, look, Ma, I'm in the NHL. But over the next couple of games, you're now playing 4 games and 6 nights in 3 different cities. You're going up against NHL travel and bigger, stronger, faster players. I think we started to see a few areas that I'm not going to say he was exposed, but I'm going to say that some areas that he may need to work on this summer, you know, work on skating and keeping up with this NHL caliber of talent and skating. He thinks the game very, very well. He was able to skate his way out of a lot of trouble this season, but I think he's going to have to learn how not to get himself in that trouble in the first place. And that just comes to playing more games. You know, he has always been one of the bigger fish in each pond that he's played in. And even in the first few games of this season, his first 9 games as a member of the Kraken, he did not look out of place. You go back and look at every single level he's played in, from junior hockey up to college to the Olympics to the World Championships, he looks like he belongs, and he looks like he fits in, and he doesn't look out of place. And the same can be said about these last 9 games for Seattle. This wasn't a, oh Lord, why the heck do they draft this kid? No, this kid is going to be a legitimate bona fide player 2 years down the road, maybe even next year, who knows? But I think now he knows, and the organization, the coaching staff, the training staff knows what they need to put in place for him this summer in terms of an off-ice training regimen. I do know that I don't know if the world championships are on the table yet or if Team USA has decided that roster yet. Adam Larson was undecided. I know Philip Grubauer said that he was going to play for Germany earlier today, and Matty Beniers' name is definitely in the American conversation. So it would be interesting to see if he does indeed represent the U.S. in the world championships. But he's got a really firm, solid base to work with this summer. And I mean, this probably goes without saying, but I don't see him going anywhere but up in terms of his progression and in terms of him becoming that SAR player that I think he expects himself to be and we expect him to be.
Everett, what's been your most pleasant surprise this season? Could be an individual player or something more bigger picture surrounding the team, surrounding your move to Seattle.
I think my biggest surprise was the fact that Softy and Dick learned anything about hockey. Yeah, that's pretty good. I love you guys. My biggest surprise this season, and I'm going to go back to just the city and the fans and the community embracing this team. I was born in Detroit. I've lived in Chicago. Two very strong and proud, not only sports towns, but hockey markets. And coming to Seattle, I knew that the Seahawks, you know, this town is a Seahawks town, right? And I knew that the interest and the excitement for the hockey team was here when I first stepped in the town. But it was ramped up when this team started playing. And to see the amount of support and the love and passion that the city of Seattle and the entire region had for this team, we all were hoping for it and expecting it, but I was not expecting anything to the level that we saw, and that's a huge testament to the city, the community, the Seattle sports fan. There were a lot of casual hockey fans at the beginning of this season, and now I think there are a lot of bona fide, genuine, knowledgeable, not only hockey fans, but NHL fans as well. So that was the biggest surprise for me this season. And it was a very pleasant, a very welcome surprise, and something that I'm looking forward to seeing continue throughout the summer and into next season.
Yeah, I was just doing a little bit of research here. You know, Dick brought up the comment from Jeff Baker about the expansion team and the interest and all that stuff. And you realize that since 1991, there's been 11 expansion teams in the NFL or the NHL. Not teams to move from one town,
right,
but a true expansion team. Only one of them made the playoffs, and that was Vegas.
Hmm.
Everybody else missed the playoffs in year number one. And of the 11, the Kraken actually have the sixth most wins in year one of those 11 franchises. So I don't know, man. I was just talking to Dick off the air about this, Everett. I just wonder how much of the hype and how much of the expectation, if Vegas never had the year they had in year number one, how much would that have changed the equation for year one in Seattle?
It would have been night and day, I think. I think everybody, of course, wants to win, and everybody wants to cheer on a winner, and everyone wants to have a winner in their city. But I do think that Vegas had unprecedented success. I was reading something earlier in the year that the Vegas Golden Knights over the past 40-something odd years are the only expansion team in any of the four major sports to make the playoffs in their first year. And I think they're one of a handful to even finish with an above 500 record. You know, that is NBA, MLB, NHL, NFL. We're talking a handful of teams to even have finished above 500, let alone make the playoffs. So Vegas, they ruined it for everybody.
Right.
I feel bad for the next round of NBA expansion, NFL expansion, if we ever get there. You know, Vegas is going to be that blueprint of, hey, well, what can you do for the Golden Knights did? So, but I do think that it did set a little bit of of a high bar for this team. But again, the record and the numbers may not have been there, but especially second half of the season,
yep.
there was not a team that worked harder than the Kraken. And I can probably count on one hand the number of games where I can confidently say that Seattle didn't deserve to win that game, or they didn't look like they were in that game. There were times this year when the Kraken would be down a couple of goals, and then that would spiral into 3 or 4 goal deficit. You turn the calendar to 2022, those games were few and far between. How many times this year have we seen Seattle in the second half of the year get down 2-0, 3-1? Go back to Ottawa. In Ottawa, they were down 3-1. They come back and tie the game, unfortunately losing overtime. There were a couple of 2-goal deficits, 3-goal deficits at home that Seattle overcame. So, again, I go back to what I was saying in the beginning. The building blocks and the pieces are there. That core is there. How this team wants to play and the identity is there. So I think you're right. I think the expectations would change if not for those pesky Golden Knights. But, you know, their way of doing things is now coming to an end. They missed the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. And now they've got they've got some big roster decisions to make this season. There's 3 or 4 guys on that team that are eating about $15 million of their salary cap, and they're not producing at $15 million worth of production. So they're going to have some tough decisions to make. So that window may be closing. So if you look at how the teams are and the mindsets of the general managers and the front office staffs of both these teams, Seattle and Vegas,
yep.
the Kraken are taking more of a marathon, not a sprint approach in looks of sustaining that success once they get it.
All right, man. Listen, great stuff. Enjoy the off season. I know you don't have much planned besides having a baby, so good luck with that, and we will talk very soon. Let's talk once the playoffs get going in earnest. All right, pal, appreciate this.
Thanks,
man.
Hey, sounds good, fellas. Always a pleasure. We'll be in touch.
You got Ever Fits You, the voice of the Kraken. We're going to break, go back, get some reaction to what the Seahawks did this weekend in the NFL draft. Coming up on a busy Monday, baby, right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.